Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? I finally have a pop-out chat on Odyssey so I can look at you in the same way I used to look at my YouTube pop-out chat. It's great to have. Sorry to be starting 1 hour late. I did have to announce that we were advancing the time of the show for tonight and for perhaps Tuesday. We'll see. There are changes to my schedule and things I have to do, family obligations. So, and I have no warning in advance. So for now, that will have to do. We will oscillate, and still most shows should be around 7 p.m. Eastern time. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Yes, there's been a daylight savings time on top of it, so. Time has changed for those of you who are engaged in daylight saving times. I guess it's just in America. Munich Clinic offers groveling apology for refusing to treat Russians due to conflict in Ukraine. Many online users criticize the clinic on Facebook and Google for its initial decision, reminding the doctors of their Hippocratic oath. We're going to see more and more of this. There is an open discrimination against Russian people. It started, and the left is making its rotation that I predicted, which is shift from anti-white to anti-Russian, and they're bashing on Russia like no country has ever been bashed on as much. It's quite impressive to see how ultimately, the leftists are being recruited as part of a warmongering effort, an anti-Russian effort. And it's not just the official sanctions, although themselves are quite discriminatory because they target very often individuals who had nothing to do with the war. But it's also all sorts of commerce, including healthcare, that will be targeted eventually, and everyone will be very hesitant at collaborating with a Russian. Basically, we have imported this extremely anti-Russian culture from Ukraine. Essentially, Ukraine has successfully exported its anti-Russian approach and its total ban from Russian agents, from the public functions and stuff like this. So it's not looking good going forward for an inclusive world, in a world where the West lives up to its standard of openness and diversity. Go away, says JF. I'm an horticulturalist and I refuse to recommend native Russian plants to my clients due to the conflict in Ukraine. Native Russian plants? Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing, or you are trolling me again? Join me on Entropy tonight. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to support the show by sending super chats. Will the conflict be resolved through a peace agreement without Kyiv falling? That is the question today, because there are a lot of talks about positive progress in the negotiation, but we've heard that before, so I don't know. We tend to hear this every Sunday, basically. We tend to hear this every Sunday, and during the week we see more fighting. So I don't know if the feelings of the peace negotiator are any good indication that actual progress is being made, because you have the Ukraine side that is saying, we won't back out on our demands. Our demand is a full end to the war. But 2 weeks ago, your demands was a full end to the war and taking back DPR, LPR, and not even recognizing Crimea. So what does that mean? What should I interpret here? I don't know. You have no idea whether these peace agreements are serious, because ultimately it's only when it's signed that it means anything. All right. And on top of Entropy, which you will find the link to in the description below the video, you can send the super chats through Odyssey by using the support button. They have an amazing USD option on top of the LBC cryptocurrency option. So those are the ways you can support the show. Other news before we start our war review. Doritos cuts number of chips in each bag blames Bidenflation. Food company Frito-Lay has cut down the number of chips in each bag of Doritos as record inflation has raised production expenses. A bag of Doritos has 5 fewer chips than it used to, the company told Quartz. Inflation is hitting everyone. We took just a little bit out of the bag so we can give you the same price and you keep enjoying your chips, a Frito-Lay representative said. So the inflation is also affecting us through shrinkflation, the shrinking of the quantities for the very same price that you used to pay. U.S. journalist Brent Renault killed in Ukraine. Local police officials and witnesses said the documentary filmmaker was shot near Kiev. Now, I'm very doubtful about the official story behind this shooting. They are saying, but they are not providing any sort of support or evidence for this, they are saying the Russians shot him. But as we learned that he was shot, and he's an American journalist, however, he was carrying around a NYT press card, which was an expired press card, or maybe not expired, but certainly very old, and that the NYT had been giving him for a totally different project. In other words, he was not in Ukraine to make his job as part of the New York Times. It was not an assignment from the New York Times. He was working there to make a documentary that he wanted to film. He was a photograph and a filmmaker of some kind. He was capturing videos in tense situations, that kind of stuff. And we have an official statement on the Ukraine side that this guy got shot at a checkpoint in a car because he was carrying his stuff in a civilian car, and he had gotten into a car of someone who said, "I can carry you between this place and this place." He wanted to film some more of the refugees being evacuated. And he ended up being shot by people from a checkpoint. Now, we've seen journalists being shot at by checkpoints. And last time, it was believed that it was a Ukrainian checkpoint that was firing on the journalist. At least, that's what I concluded based on the available evidence and the beliefs of the people at the site of the shooting. However, in this case, Jan Miles Chongs publishes an interesting tweet about this. He says, "Looks like he got killed by Ukrainians because they suspected he was spying for Russia and giving away Ukrainian troop movements." Because right after this event, Andreas Haas publishes, "The mayor of Irpin said that journalists will be denied access to the settlement from tomorrow. According to him, media representatives are filming soldiers and revealing the location of the positions of the armed forces of Ukraine." Very interesting that they come out right after the death of this American journalist. And they're like, "Yeah, it's a big problem, journalists. We're going to stop having journalists pass. And you're trying to make me believe that he got shot by a Russian checkpoint?" First, this happened in Irpin, Kiev, and the pro-Ukrainian people for many days now have been rooting, "Oh, it's amazing how we're kicking the Russians out of Irpin." So you're going to make me believe that while they are fighting the Russians out of Irpin and successfully doing so according to their own statement, that there are Russian checkpoints in Irpin. And Jan Majchungs was pointing out on Twitter that there are no Russian checkpoints known in Irpin. There are all there is a Ukrainian checkpoint. So you have the fact that, as far as we know, Irpin is under the control. It's a contested control, but is largely under the control of the Ukrainian army still, because it's a suburb, or it's at a certain distance from Kiev, but not far from it. It was a position that was getting shot by artillery for many days now. So it's a position that the Russians are not in. They are shooting at it from the sky and from a distance. And you're going to tell me that the Russian forces are those who killed through bullets at a checkpoint in Irpin, the American journalist. I don't believe it. I think we're getting bullshitted here. And look at his partner who survived the assault. And he's telling the story of what happened. Now, at this point, this guy didn't know for sure that his partner, Brent Renault, was dead. Here's his explanation of what happened.
Tell me, please, what is your name?
Juan.
Juan?
Juan.
Where are you from?
The U.S.
Yes. What happened to you?
We crossed the first bridge in Irpin. We're going to film other refugees leaving, and we got into a car. Somebody offered to take us to the other bridge, and we crossed a checkpoint, and they start shooting at us. So the driver turned around, and they kept shooting. It's two of us. My friend is Brent Renault, and he's been shot and left behind.
So he's not saying it's a Russian checkpoint. So very bizarre circumstances here. It is my impression that this guy is not convinced it was a Russian checkpoint. At least he's not affirming it positively in his statement. And so it seems that it's a product of the Ukrainian army propaganda and their release that that this happened due to the Russians. So I'm going to wait before developing a final judgment, but something tells me that we are getting, some things are being hidden from us here. I'm not satisfied by the official statement or the official story. And as far as the evidence that I'm looking at and the first hand witness that is him, he doesn't seem to be saying that it's a Russian checkpoint. And it would be surprising anyways to already have a Russian checkpoint in a place that is largely controlled by Ukrainians. And that, I mean, if it was a shelling, I might believe it, that it was the Russian. But it's not a shelling. This guy, these people got shot by weaponry, like guns. So we're going to wait. Perhaps it's the Russian, but for now, I don't believe it. Brent Renault didn't have much detail about himself on Twitter. I was looking at his Twitter account. It was a very small Twitter account, opened in July 2011. He was pro-vaccine, got my second vaccine shot today, and he was interviewing and going around the world making pictures, photography, videos. Was very much pro-vaccine. There are lots of comments that are pro-nurse, pro-COVID interventionism kind of stuff. So he is now dead, and it is the first, I believe, the first, is it the first American victim? At least known to be American. Was it a clever thing to be passing checkpoints with a 2015 New York Times cards? I don't think it was particularly clever. I think particularly in a society like Ukraine, where the suspicions of saboteurs and Russian agents are omnipresent for anyone who has something weird about him, carrying an old card on an assignment that this card was not designed for, that was not very smart. And it may be what triggered the checkpoint, whether it was a Russian or Ukrainian checkpoint, it may be what triggered them to start thinking, oh my God, maybe he's a spy. And I had been denunciating this attitude on the Ukraine side to say everyone is a potential saboteur. I mean, this will lead your soldiers to shoot people who are innocent. The New York Times has insisted that Brent Renault's death, they are saddened by it, but that he did not contributed to the New York Times many years ago. And although he had contributed to the Times in the past, most recently in 2015, He was not on assignment for any desk at the Times in Ukraine. Early reports that he worked for the Times circulated because he was wearing a Times press badge that had been issued for an assignment many years ago. So he was not working on the New York Times work. You know, it was not dedicated to serving the New York Times in Ukraine. Sprocket had sent super chats during the night. Let's have a look at them. One, he says, West censorship of Russia and Russophobia must stop. I fully agree with this statement. I think it's scandalous. I mean, can you think about it? If certain countries decided to stop making any sort of commerce with any American just because of what the American government has done throughout the decades in terms of attacking other nations. Of course, they would say, oh, how am I being judged as an individual American for what my country is doing? Like, I'm not even for these bombings. And yet we're doing this full on with Russia. I mean, we're punishing individuals. We're literally, there are hundreds of billions of dollars that just disappeared. They got frozen in bank accounts of people. I mean, there are rich Russians who end up having their yacht seized. It's ridiculous. And he says, while experts say sanctions will be severe for Russia, you speak of a Russian renaissance. Can you show your predictions aren't based solely on pixie dust? Well, that is an interesting question. First, I don't want you to misrepresent my view on this. I didn't predict that there will be a Russian renaissance. I said it's a possibility. Now, there's a difference between a possibility and being sure that it will happen, or, you know, putting some money behind it happening. I don't know if Russia has what it takes to do a renaissance and to build everything for its own. You know, I was thinking of if they get banned from PayPal, maybe they can create their own PayPal, but maybe they can't. And I've not taken a strong position on saying whether they can transform this into a great opportunity or not, but it's definitely a possibility. And you say, okay, so I can defend why it's a possibility. It's a possibility because there will be a surplus of energy in Russia. And all that I know about life and the world and the economy is that where there is a surplus of energy, there is some blooming happening. It will show itself one way or another. There is no way you can say, oh, we're not going to take your oil anymore and your energy and your stuff. And there's no way that this energy just drains into the soil and goes away. This energy will be used to something, and that something may be productivity. It may be exports to countries that will not punish Russia, but it will lead to something somewhere that will lead to productivity, lead to innovation, and demand innovation. So because of this, it's definitely a possibility that there will be a Russian Renaissance. Now, it might not be as intellectual as the European Renaissance, but it might be energy driven, and who knows where this could lead them. Sprocket also sent another super chat. He says, the unyielding Ukrainian resistance against the villainous Putin invaders is the honorable story of self-rule. Why do you persist in talking about their noble mission with a mocking tone? I don't know that I've adopted a mocking tone on the right of the Ukrainians to self-defend. I'm fine with it. You can self-defend into your own death, that's all good. Although I'm part of a different line of thought, which is if you run fast enough, you won't have to self-defend. And so I'm not mocking their desire to defend. I have an alternative view about what's in their interest and what would be my interest in this situation. My interest would be, okay, I recognize that my army is smaller. I'm not going to impose on my people a grueling and cruel war that I know I can't win. So, yes, Chronic Boom says, JF is a run and hide libertarian. Exactly. That's all I do. I run and hide. And a lot of people mock French people for doing this. And, it, you know, there's a whole meme about French people, you know, with the white flag from the beginning of the war. But that is something I adopt proudly. It's like, you won't mock me. You won't make me feel bad if you tell me, Jeff, you're a coward. Yeah, I'm a coward. I'm a coward that lives. I'm a coward that lives in a world filled with douchebag bros who want to kill each other. I'm the one laughing in the background and fleeing to the North Pole. That's literally what I do. It's not mocking them, but it's realizing and making you guys realize that Zelensky has made a choice. It is the choice of self-sacrifice, the choice of symbolic death, the choice of, if he can't reach a peace agreement, he's going to be bombed from the sky until he dies. Midnight sends a super chat, 20 LBC, thank you so much. He says, JF, will Russian negotiators insist that Volodymyr Zelensky abdicate all his power as terms of surrender? If not, do you see a situation in where he can stay in power as part of a capitulation? There is a situation where he can stay in power, and I don't think that the Russians will necessarily insist in the negotiations that he be kicked out. What the Russians want is fairness to be happening inside Ukraine, and Ukraine to live by their own commitment to their own people, commitment to principles of democracy. And so, yes, I don't think that they will want Zelensky out at all cost. Although it could be part of a deal, it doesn't have to be. The reason is, well, first, Zelensky will be traumatized getting out of this, you know. There will be a mark on his brain that you don't fuck around with Russian security interest. You don't oppress the Russians in your country. You don't deny the right to sovereignty of the Russian regions of Ukraine. So he would actually be a perfect candidate for a new Ukraine that would be more dampened by Russian interest. And if he can commit that there will be no penetration of NATO forces or no installations of NATO on his territory, and perhaps even no army at all for Ukraine to be a true neutral space, that would be sufficient for Russia to be satisfied. Russia is not about managing Ukraine. Russia is about making sure that the space of evolution of Ukraine will be in a direction that doesn't threaten their existence. And a buffer zone, as I had said even before the conflict began, Ukraine being a buffer zone would be plenty for Russian interests to be satisfied. And if this can be embedded in the constitution or in some sort of treaty that is that the Russians can believe that Ukraine will follow, then there's not going to be any problem. What do we have? Those are in central Russia. There are tanks headed toward the west of Russia, so presumably being transported toward Ukraine. So we're going to see a little more tanks. Does this look like a country that wants, that expects peace to be signed tomorrow? I mean, train filled with tanks, vehicles. They're just going to send more. So now we have a transfer of forces from central Russia headed toward Ukraine. War is hell. Russian influencer whines about her lost income after Vladimir Putin's Instagram ban as thousands die in Ukraine invasion, and she's blasted for caring more about pictures of restaurant food. This is the best thing to come out of this war. So you have this E-Tot, and she's just being beautiful on Instagram. That's her job. And now she's crying because there's 24 hours left before the Putin Instagram ban will be effective. So she's done. She won't have an income anymore. This is so beautiful. I mean, if you had told me in 2021, Jeff, 2022 will be the year where Putin starts tot patrolling, literally Instagram e-tots. Okay, I'm interested. I'd like to hear more about it. Corvin Carlson says, I'm so glad JF doesn't have to say electronic person anymore. I mean, how many people on the internet were understanding when I was saying electronic person that I meant e-tot? Maybe 200 of you guys, maybe the whatever the 1,000, 2,000 biggest fans of the show that watch the show every day. But there was no way for me to be understood. I mean, I couldn't say e-tot. Can you believe this? That was the state of my life 3 months ago. Amazing. We can now say it. Putin has patrolled the e-tots. There are no more e-tots in Russia. She's going to have to find a husband and stop generating fictitious, deceptive signals of sexuality on the fucking internet. Because, you know, all of this is getting men excited. And the result of this is men are throwing money at you in a very unhealthy relationship, because really it's their genes telling them, if you can throw money at any woman with such shoulders and boobs, do it. And it's deceptive, because the genes won't get what they are after. They are after you hosting their babies in your belly. So now you have another career choice. You should get out there, use your beauty, continue to use your beauty, but do it to find a good husband and produce babies. Near Hostomel, Russian army was targeted in attempt to cross the river, so they had a pontoon, but it got blasted or something, or it crumbled into the water. So it's going to be harder to set up a transfer to the other side of the river. This may explain certain delays in advancing for the Russian army. Russia is doubling down on its false claims that the US and Ukraine are developing chemical or biological weapons for use against invading Russian forces, bringing the accusation to the United Nations Security Council on Friday. It doesn't have to be biological weapon, because up to now, in everything they've published, I've not seen evidence of biological weapon development. But they were definitely working with dangerous pathogens. Shouldn't that be enough? You know, in the year of COVID, shouldn't it be worrying enough that people are working on the developments of very dangerous, or the preservation of very dangerous pathogens? Lendolt Guntram says, no one ever demonstrated that those claims were false. Yeah, that's another thing, you know. And this reminds me of the whole WMD, you know, there are weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And I think Putin is kind of surfing on the same trend here, saying, oh yeah, well, the US did invade a whole country because there were WMDs that didn't exist. So at this point, seriously, I mean, there's more evidence that Ukraine was developing biological weapons than Iraq or Afghanistan. Can we agree on this one? New Nation says on Entropy, is Russophobia a new way for MSM to be anti-white without being as overt, since westernizing Ukraine will inevitably destroy its demographics? Absolutely. It's deeper than this, actually. It's not just a strategic thing. Russia is the failure of the globalist empire. Russia is the first country that they should have succeeded at dominating and changing. But they made an error. They didn't control the Russian demographics. And for that, Russia ended up taking a path of its own since communism. Because, you know, the kind of communism that they're trying to introduce today through BLM and SJWs in modern time was actually culturally implemented in Russia many decades ago. I mean, they were at it at the beginning of like 1917, something like this. They were already pretty much in the Marxist mentality. So there is, as a consequence of this, a hate for Russia from the globalists. And the globalists have taken the resolve of not doing the Russia error again. Never to try to convert a nation without attacking its demographics. And you can see that what they're doing to the West, it's basically Russia 2.0, but this time they're attacking the demographics. Because they know that if you don't control the demographics turn against you eventually. If your project is so anti-nature, anti-evolution, and so dysgenic in the broad sense of the word, if your project is associated with lowering of baby making, eventually people in the nation that you're trying to subvert will evolve away from listening to you. And the Russian people eventually evolved away from listening to Marxist-themed propaganda. So the Russophobia that you see, yes, it's a form of anti-whitism, definitely. But it roots even deeper than anti-whitism. It's that Russophobia is the initial anti-whitism. It is how a certain class of elites that had control over Russia and lost it initially were pissed. They were pissed at the people who eventually took their country back from them. Stephen Robinson says, JF, Russia is more than surfing on the WMD issue. The UN Security Council is investigating this. Robert Burns went into detail about this today on Viva YouTube channel. Great information from a historical legal perspective. In fact, the show is live right now. They started at 4 p.m. Okay, I'll have a look at it. Yeah, I'm not denying that they're maybe onto something. Definitely the papers we've seen, the documents that they've published up to now, they definitely raise a concern. Go away, says Jeff. I'm gonna have babies with girls of every race. This is the best chance my genes will have propagating successfully through the ages. Spread the risk. Okay, you are a spread the risk type of guy. You do you. 7 Ukrainian servicemen killed as a result of Russian missile strike at Kropyvnytsky airport yesterday. So we had airports and military buildings being targeted, especially as it relates to the passation of weaponry. And it was believed, at least by the Russian side, that one of the buildings targeted contained foreign mercenaries. So now there was a bizarre back and forth between the Ukraine side and Russia. Russia was saying we sent a missile to kill 180 foreign mercenaries that were coming to the rescue of Ukraine. And Ukraine said among the 30 that were dead, there were no foreign mercenaries. There were no citizens of other countries. But then there were 147 that were injured. And something tells me that in these 147 injured, there may be a lot of foreign mercenaries, people who were hired and or who were coming as individual enthusiasts of war and who were looking to serve the Ukraine side. Europe Aesthetica. And yes, Alimaker makes me think there is a Brazilian on an army guy who's a Brazilian on Twitter, and he published a video saying, no, they successfully targeted a contingent of foreign mercenaries. So perhaps the Ukraine side is trying to hide the deaths. Let me remind you that when you go as a foreign mercenary like this, like a random Canadian or French guy who would go into Ukraine, this is not covered by any official measure, and you could disappear and there would be no paper trace of you existing. So they're taking quite a risk, the people who do that thing. Evropa Estetica says Russia's been tame in the invasion towards their enemy. Schroomer's good is a very annoying person. Let's block him. Those were your first chats on my show, and they are the last. Evropa says Russia's been tame in the invasion towards their enemy soldiers, but especially towards civilians. If Ukraine begins using horrific weapons on Russian soldiers, Russia would use extreme measures. How long before terrorist attacks occur within Russia? And the MSN cheers. I don't know that there's much potential for terrorist attacks within Russia. Russia has, you know, extreme intelligence services and extreme control of their population. It's very unlikely that someone could, in any way, make something significant. So no, I would be very surprised. Two killed, two wounded as a result of an airstrike on school at Zeleny High of Mykolaiv region. So Mykolaiv starting to be half circled on the east front and starting to be shelled. This is some work on the Russian side from the sky. They are shooting buildings from planes. Those are enormous bombs. I mean, they are making quite the explosion. Very impressive. Very powerful attacks being delivered on Ukrainian cities. Russian missile strike on Malin town, resulting in the destruction of this building. Riding the Tiger says, do you know much about of the Banderistas or the history of Ukraine? Could be interesting to do a deep dive on it, perhaps. I don't know much. I think that the Ukraine on Fire documentary is a good overview of this stuff, of Bandera and his role in starting the kind of Ukrainian Nazi branch. But I don't know much more than this. I would have to research, and yes, I could do a deep dive if I'm successful at doing that research. Jack Sullivan tells Mark Brennan, the US will impose appropriate consequences against Russia for the death of an American journalist in Ukraine. What does that mean? Maybe we're going to get a strike, but as I've reviewed, there's no solid evidence that this was caused by the Russian side. Saltova Kharkov last night was getting absolutely pounded. Kharkov is one of the sites of the most intense fighting and shelling. I've seen on Twitter that people describe the strategy of the Russians as artillery centric. That's apparently what the Russians do every time. They just bring their ground artillery and they just shoot low cost, just lots of shells, lots of bullets, and some missiles. Look at what was happening in Kharkov. Thankfully, Coach Red Pill is isolated in a basement right here, basically.
Пидорасы, нашли, блядь, эту позицию.
Chronic Boom says, would you support Ukraine if they just wanted to have a Ukrainian ethnostate? How could they go about such a thing the right way? It's a good question, because it wouldn't take much for me to side with Ukraine. If Ukraine could respect the binational nature of their place, and as a consequence, if they were to say, look, we want to find a way for these two peoples going forward, the Russian people and the Ukrainian people. So we're going to develop our ethnostate of Ukrainian people, and it's going to be right here, and we're going to put a border, and this other side, you can get it. You can get DPR, you can get LPR. And if they were to adopt this attitude and really to kind of form an enclave of available separatist regions for those people who don't want to join the new Ukrainian project, I would have no issue with this. I'd be very happy that they do whatever they want. But that's not how they've taken over Ukraine. They've taken over Ukraine by force. They've taken over Ukraine by coup. They've taken over Ukraine by foreign influence and foreign funding. And they have caused massive amounts of violence to their separatist regions and have treated them as terrorists rather than engage with them on an equal standing. If you were to fix what I just listed, I totally side with Ukraine. And that would be, if the western part of Ukraine that has developed in this honest manner, if they were invaded by Russia, I would say that's unjust. But in the current circumstances where 14,000 people have died from Ukrainian bombardment, where a massive amount of the population, more than 1 million people, cannot have public functions, cannot have a job in the Ukrainian government, where Ukraine is so corrupt that it has emerged in its current state by a coup that included violence with snipers on the roof killing people, I can't side with Ukraine in this circumstance. Delcroix sends a super chat. He says, do you think Putin as a KGB man was a plant when he was in the WEF? It's very hard to determine what that means, this whole Putin membership of the WEF. I guess it doesn't matter to me. Is Putin an agent of the West inside Russia? This is a hard thing to swallow. You know, it's a hard thing to believe. He's been so anti whatever the WEF has converged toward. If he's an agent of the WEF inside Russia, it's hilarious how bad he is at it. So I would see it the other way. Perhaps Putin masters, just like me, by the way. In that sense, me and Vladimir are very close. Because you see what I've done with Jeff Epstein. I got him to fund my shows. Like, it's quite spectacular to have someone of my nature be funded by a Jew, by a Jewish millionaire or billionaire in the infancy of his career. And I think perhaps Putin did exactly to Klaus Schwab what I've done to Jeff Epstein. He went in there, made him believe that he was his agent, and eventually used his money and his power to advance his own stuff on his own. And Delcroix says, Jeff, I meant that Putin working against the WEF. Yeah, that's that. I was giving the opposite view, but I think your view, Putin against the WEF, that makes total sense. That he somehow went as an insider of Russia with his nationalist interest hidden inside of him to benefit from something, from maybe gathering information or maybe even gathering power and gathering a kind of a public support and a networking opportunity. Oh, we have our spammer. He is back on the regular chat, and he is banned again. Evropa Aesthetica sends $5. Thank you so much. He says, I like to super chat within Odyssey because I want to reward and encourage them. Yeah, and they take a ridiculous small amount of fees. So it's amazing. You know, I still say Entropy is my favorite platform for super chat, but the fact is Odyssey is just as good at this point. From Butchma Kharkiv, destruction of residential buildings, civilian cars. That's some of the destruction we've seen today. Footage from the training ground. This is a training academy in the Ukrainian military that got targeted by missiles during the night.
Оце народ, що ви всі понімали, оце, блядь, центр імітаційного моделювання, блядь. Оце, блядь, пизда, сука. Блядь, що люди, нахуй, сука, впали, блядь.
Lots of destruction of the building, that's why there were... I believe this is where there was 30 dead at least, and many injured. Russian armed forces in Kherson, of course, this we knew. They've been spotted here, but I think they took over the city before. Shelling of northern Saltovka, Kharkiv. Again, the shelling in Kharkiv is intense. Big clouds of smoke over the areas that are getting targeted. Here we have a scene from Kharkiv again. Lots of impact on the buildings. Entire floors being ripped apart. Kharkiv is getting absolutely pounded. The village of Kutuzovka, also in the Kharkiv region. So those were guys isolated in the forest, and they're just hearing the missiles pass above their head and hit. Landolt says, Kharkiv turning into Dara / Syria. Yes, it's very reminiscent in terms of total destruction. A plane of the Russian side has been shut down by the defenses. Here we can see it burn and fall down. The Ukrainians are relatively successful at shooting down planes. However, not enough to fully stop the attacks. And so it seems that a lot of the Russian planes are still successful at doing what they had to do, shooting missiles or whatever, because we still see a lot of aerial bombardments. That being said, we see a couple of planes like this being shut down. Shelling in a district of Kharkiv affected a residential building here. Go away sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, should the Russians take over Ukrainian TV broadcasting infrastructure and broadcast pornography just like the Israelis did in Palestine in 2002? Is this an effective modern military tactic? I've heard this claim. I don't see the Russians do this. I think there is something like a weird honor. I know a lot of people are telling me when I say that the Russians are honorable, they're saying, JF, you don't know the Russian army. I mean it in a very broad fashion. There is something like a Russian honor that they wouldn't go down to this level. I think the Russians wouldn't hesitate to lie, deceive, and use communication pathways to fool their enemy. But I don't think they would bring it down to showing pornography to trigger them. And I don't think it would be particularly effective. I think in a context where pornography is a societal taboo, that may be a problem. But in Ukraine, I don't think you're going to have a big reaction. As far as I know, the Ukrainians aren't religious Puritans of the kind that would be totally demoralized at seeing porn. That doesn't sound useful at all. Mariupol is also getting bombarded here. We can see a residential building receiving a lot of impacts. All right, go away, says JF. It will stop insurgency fighters as they will be at home masturbating. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's not a very clever strategy. All right, what else do we have in the war images? Another angle on the Kharkov shelling during the night. You don't want to be under these randomly falling fires. The result of the bombing of the Bavaria region, also around Kharkov. I believe there's some damage here. I believe there's damage here. I think this was probably a continuing roof that fell. So industries being affected too. The parking lot in Balearic, Kharkiv. Amazing. A missile just fell in the parking lot and totally pinned into a truck. This is
huge. Мы с Толиком приехали машину посмотреть. Ёб твою мать, нехай. Вот это залетело, дура, блядь. GPR,
блядь. I wouldn't be filming this. I'm very scared of missiles. I would be scared of actually just transporting a missile from my side. These guys are filming it as it has fallen. Russian Orthodox Church, that's surprising, in Amsterdam announces a split with Moscow. Now, the clergy of this church seems to be very much pro-Russia, but somehow perhaps the sanctions have forced them to kind of cut the link. So I don't know to which extent it's a disavowal. I think he didn't phrase it as a disavowal. It's more like he's not going to be communicating with them because he might fall under the Russian sanctions. So I don't know what it will mean for the Orthodox Church going forward, but quite surprising that there would be such a change, that there would be basically a Protestantism developing within the Orthodox Church. That would be hilarious to follow on Gab. Look at them, they're working with a missile. Look at them pulling the missile out. Now you can see that the initiator, the explosive here that starts the whole bomb, has been unscrewed. So presumably it has been unscrewed by professionals inside, so that it's safe to transport that bomb. But still, I'm still scared. Unbelievable. They were saying that it's a 500 kilograms bomb. 500 kilograms? Let's say it's basically big like a human being, but it's more dense, perhaps. The coke plant in Avdiivka, in the Donetsk region, is on fire. They have captured photos of it on fire. What does that mean for Coca-Cola in in Eastern Europe? I do not know. This is video of the activity on the Ukrainian side attacking a Russian tank, and it's nice because you get to see the kind of technology they have. So it's a little machine like this. I believe it's controlling some kind of a missile rocket launcher. Is it on a drone or is it located beside him? I don't know. Maybe the camera comes from a drone so he can have an aerial view of his target. I don't know. It looks like it gives them a... There you go. And they kind of have video feedback of their success in shooting. It's a guy from V says it's a Javelin HUD screen. Okay, so they can control javelins with screens, with monitors. The way it's described is the moment of a shot from the Ukrainian ATGM Stugna P at the armored vehicles of the armed forces of the Russian Federation. So that's how it was described, but I don't understand those acronyms. some more videos of abandoned Russian trucks and tanks.
Поебашили, все полно. Полно, лопатами поебашили. А сейчас мы настигаем.
Okay, so always being celebrated on the Ukraine side. But let us remind ourselves that it's not because it's abandoned that the soldiers in these trucks are dead. At times they may be just taking on foot. Perhaps I've seen some in the video there are some tires that are flat. So perhaps they couldn't continue with the trucks. A huge smoke in a school. Vitaly Kim reports that the Russian troopers hit a school in Mykolaiv. We've seen pictures of this school earlier, but now it's a video of the fire as it was ongoing. Well, it seems like a complete destruction. There's going to be so much massive cost imposed on Ukrainian society or Russian society if it takes over Ukraine. Rebuilding this will be hundreds of billions of dollars. It's amazing how long it is to build things and how quick it is to destroy them. We are about, 2 weeks into this war? And so much things have been destroyed. If people were to go back to their town, there would be decades of work to restore this. Tillman says, JF, did you read that kids are going missing? I saw some evidence of some complaints that, for example, a grandmother was killed and she was accompanied by a little boy. And the little boy has not been seen since. And so there is a big problem here, which is that it's not necessarily the war that leads to this. Ukraine is unfortunately the ground, as one member of our audience was confirming to us in the comment section a couple of days ago. Ukraine is the ground for massive human trafficking. And they will go after children. So when a grandmother dies and the children that she was accompanying disappear, the worst could be the case, which is that this was not an act of war and the child isn't running free in the forest. The child has been kidnapped for the purpose of human trafficking. I am indeed extremely worried about this. And I'm worried about the fact that this was going on in Ukrainian society even before the war. Now, can you imagine how much such a war can be an opportunity for people who are looking to kidnap children? Absolutely disgusting. But it's one of the things that I hope after the war gets better in Ukraine. If Ukraine can be taken by the hand by a bigger nation and perhaps law and order can be restored there. But it's not looking good. Not looking good at all. Biden spoke with Macron about Russia's invasion of Ukraine. White House says President Biden spoke today with Macron. They reviewed recent diplomatic engagements and underscored their commitment to hold Russia accountable for its actions and to support the government and people of Ukraine. Czech Republic to bolster its military aid to Ukraine. Okay, well, receiving military aid by the Czech Republic, it's it's like, hey, I've just received an ICE delivery by Mexico. Oh yeah. More than 328,000 refugees have crossed into Moldova from Ukraine. That's an interesting area. Moldova, I didn't know much about this country. It seems that they will be welcoming a lot of Ukraine refugees. There's an interesting question about this area of Moldova. Because Ukraine is right here, and there has been a separatist region of Moldova for a long time now. And there's a big question about what would happen with this if Russia was to just claim this part of Ukraine, let's say. This separatist region might very well be interested at siding with Russia and perhaps even joining Russia. I don't know much of the local history of this. They call it the Transnistria territorial administration of the left bank of the Dniester. It's a very small place, but it's basically a bunch of separatist Moldovans that could never accept the way Moldova turned out, and they have developed this bank here. And it's going to be interesting to follow what's the dynamic here, because I believe that this little territory has wanted to send soldiers as part of the Russian effort. Chronic Boom says, Jeff, Moldova has ethnic Ukrainians who were heavily persecuted during the 30s. Ah, very interesting. Yeah, it's such a heartbreaking thing that happens in these areas, and I don't want people to think because of my coverage angle that I'm not sensitive to the human reality, because it's so heart-tearing to be thinking about these middle nations, these nations who are bordered by other nations. And I would say this is the story of everything from Germany to Ukraine. They are torn apart by different demographic movements. They are torn apart by different sets of interest. They go through so much more war, so much more often than a nation like Canada that has its border with oceans and all. It's amazing to me just how much human suffering can stack across generations in a place like Ukraine versus in a place like Australia or Canada with border that are so naturally protected by just the absence of other countries around us that we can go for hundreds of years without war if we wanted. Although, you know, Canada and the US have been engaging themselves in war willfully. Newly installed mayor in Russian-occupied Melitopol, that's 2 minutes ago from CNN, says Russian TV channels will begin broadcasting. Galina Danilchenko, the newly installed mayor in Russian-occupied Melitopol, said in a televised video Sunday that Russian TV channels would begin broadcasting in the region, claimed there was a great deficit of trustworthy information being circulated as reasoning for the broadcasting decision. This girl is already full-on pro-Russia. didn't take much time. Well, this girl is actually Russia's replacement of the existing Melitopol mayor. So, of course, she's pro-Russia. But it's amazing. They put these people in power and suddenly you're going to get Russian TV in Melitopol. So go away, suggestion earlier about pornography might happen. I mean, I don't know about this girl's taste in TV broadcasting. It's not out of the question that there could be Russian-approved pornography being broadcasted, but I still doubt it. Ukraine to launch... Oh, no. Ukraine to launch NFT to mark history of Russian invasion. This is the feeling I get from all this war. It's like Zelensky self-picturing himself for Instagram pictures. Like, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm defending. Oh, yeah. We're not giving up. Oh, yeah. I'm in Kiev. I don't care. And it's so, as I said, the Ukrainian strategy in this war seems to be the same as for the promotion of a new shitcoin. It's like Ukraine is about to become a shitcoin. Literally, in 1 week from now, there may not be Ukraine, but there will be a Ukraine NFT. We can tell you that for sure. Ukraine could disappear from the map tomorrow. But on the blockchain there will be a Ukraine NFT that will remain. Firestarter, watch your language. I'm about to ban you if you ever use these words again. So yeah, buy the Ukraine NFT. It's forever, while Ukraine isn't. And finally, as we conclude this show, solar storm to strike Earth Sunday as Northern Lights to dazzle night sky. A large solar flare triggered a coronal mass ejection that is expected to hit the Earth's magnetic field Sunday evening and into the early morning hours of Monday. So watch your electronic material, but it's just a G2 moderate, so should be okay, but I'm not going to hang out on the early morning hours on Monday, hopefully. So that would be 14th of March, so that's basically tonight. In the watch out for March 15. Yeah, I guess it's either tonight in the night or maybe up to tomorrow. Areas on the 55th parallel north may experience communication disruptions, power grid malfunctions, and of course, auroras could light up the night sky. Auroras could be visible as low as the US upper Midwest and Northeast. So yes, be careful if you are in these regions. Hopefully everything will be all right. That is it for tonight. We have to set a Patreon hangout and Subscribestar hangout. Let's make sure we do that. So let's do it this week on Thursday. The 17th is going to be the Patreon hangout. Thursday the 17th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time or whenever the regular show ends. 17th, don't forget and join the Subscribestar or the Patreon at the $20 level if you want to keep our show going, if you want to be with our private discussion. This will be right after the regular show. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.